Okay. Thank you again, everyone, for adjusting your schedules. This will be our final Gemara Shir. Oh, great. The light in here decided to go off in the Simcha room. Let me just turn it on. It's on the timer. So anyway, this will be our final Gemara Shir. Before I go on vacation, we'll be taking a few week hiatus. I believe I sent out all the dates in an email. Not only is this our final Gemara Shir, there is a bris this Sunday, and I think my attendance is expected, which overlaps with our Shir, so I canceled Sunday Shir. If they decide that the bris is going to be after the early minyan, and we can still swing the Shir, I will let you know as soon as possible, because I would love to give that final Sefer Chinuch Shir before I go off. But if not, then okay. All right, we find ourselves on Yud Beis Amud Aleph 12a on the top. Previously in Maseches Sukkah, we were trying to determine the source for the following halacha. We learned that in order for something to constitute kosher schach, it needs to have two criteria. One, it cannot be susceptible to tumah, it can't be makabel tumah. Number two, it has to grow from the ground. So where we get this idea, what is the paradigm for this idea that schach is not makabel tumah and grows from the ground? So the first attempt that we made, that we left off with last time, was from a pasuk, the Eid Yala min Haaretz. In Bereishis, it talks about this mist, this cloud emerging from the earth. And we said, we see that it emerges from the earth. And we said, what is makabel tumah? Rashi point out, kalim, vessels, food, beverages, certain mashkin that are, certain beverages, not the right word, liquids, and people. And the mist apparently doesn't qualify for any of those categories. However, the issue with that suggestion was that only works if you hold that a sukkah is modeled after the Anani HaKavod, after clouds. But what if you hold that sukkahs commemorate actual sukkahs? So then why are we learning from the mist in the creation narrative? And then we said, maybe we could learn from animals, because there's a hekesh. It talks about the carbon chagigas. It's chag hasukos. So maybe the laws of a sukkah are similar to laws of the chagiga. So then we said, yeah, but you can't put an animal on top of your sukkah and make schach out of it. It doesn't work that way. So we rejected that one, right? I didn't mean literally putting a cow on it. You could put leather on top as well. But we know you don't make schach out of leather. As I said, you know, maybe in some of those, like one of those fancy neighborhoods, I'm not going to say by name, where they're always trying, you know, where some people try to do the other. So like, you know, they'll make their sukkah with leather on top. They won't just suffice with the sticks. Tautopia. I'm not sure what you think I'm referring to over here. Okay. I saw that smile. Okay.
I've been told I should never play poker.
What was that?
I've been told I should never try to play poker.
Oh, okay. Very good. Now, option number three, we pick up on the second line at the top of 12a, on top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Ki asa rab in amar av yochel and amar kra. It comes from the following verse. So it's talking about during the time that you would bring in materials that you had on your threshing floor and from your wine vat. So it's really describing the time of year, but we learn from here that these are the materials that you can use for schach. Now, when you're not putting literally a threshing floor and a wine vat on top of your sukkah, right? That doesn't make any sense. Rather, we're talking about, well, what's in a wine vat? What are you threshing? So bipsoles gorim v'yakev akasim edaber. It's talking about the psoles, the leftovers that's in there. So what's the psoles? The psoles refers to the straw that's left over. It refers to the clusters of grapes, but without the grapes. Whatever's the leftovers after the grapes have been crushed and taken away. And so what's that? Well, those are branches. Those are vines. Those are things that we put on a sukkah. And this is a great source. Why? Because it describes something that grew from the ground. but it's not food. It's not food because it's the leftover. It's dafka, the stuff that's the residue that you're not, that's not edible, that you're not eating. So it ticks off both boxes. It's not susceptible to becoming tummy because it's not food. And well, it grew from the ground, right? So that is the paradigm for snach. However, the Gemara challenges this. The ema goren atmo, the yekiv atmo. Maybe it's referring literally to the goren and the yekiv. Now, what do I mean by literally? Rashi explains. Hakushin im hatvua, va ashkelos im hanavim. Maybe we're referring to the clusters with the grapes still intact. Maybe we're referring to the wheat still attached to the straw. So, to the chaff, or whatever the term is in English. So, maybe that is what the verse is referring to. And if so, I don't know. Maybe my sukkah, my skach, should be able to be made out of food, even though it's mekabel tuma. This is not a good source. But, and So, yekiv sivkan, the yeshra sachikbo. But here we're talking about a yekiv. What's a yekiv? Yekiv is a wine vat. That's after after you crush the grape. Like, what are you going to do? You're going to take wine and make your schach out of wine? I'm pretty sure the wine is not going to stay up there. The wine's going to splatter onto the floor. So, of course, we're talking about the psoles. We're talking about the residue. We're not talking about the actual wine itself. But maskula rav yirmiyav, ema yayin karush, abba misnirsha, hu domeli guli dvela. Apparently, I don't know what it, maybe, you know what would be good? I wonder if the Koren edition has it. Usually, I'm not a big fan of the Koren Gemaras because I don't find them as user-friendly as Masifta or Art Scroll, but what they do come in handy for is like historical details. They're really good with like bringing in like historical things. So if anyone have a Koren Gemara with them by any chance? Okay, so we'll have to look it up if they have it. But apparently there's a certain kind of wine that congeals similar to a cake of figs. And because in its congealed form, conceivably, it could be used for schach. So who knows? Maybe we're not talking about the leftover vines and clusters without the grapes. Maybe we're actually talking about the wine itself that's in the vat that becomes congealed, if you can imagine using that somehow. So Amar Abin Zera, Hamil Sahava B'Yadon, we had this great source in the verse for where we get the idea of schach having these two criteria. Vasrav Yirmiya Vashadavi Narga. Or Yirmiya act, you know, like you say sometimes, like you're in a meeting and like that person acts that idea. Like this phrase right over here. You know, things haven't changed that much in a few hundred thousand years or so. So, you know, he literally acts this idea. He threw an axe at it. So how do we answer this? Ravashi Amar Mi Garncha Vlo Goren Atzmo, Mi Kvecha Vlo Yekev Atzmo. I believe it's the mem there, that's the critical letter. It says, from it, mi garncha, mi kvecha. So this implies not the goren and not the yekif itself, but it's referring rather to what remains in the goren and the yekif. And what remains, by definition, is the residue. What's the residue? The chaff, the vines, the stuff that grew from the ground, but also is not the food. It's specifically not the food. It's the leftovers that you don't want. And that will be our source for what makes something kosher snach to use for your sukkah. That is, I believe, attempt, if I'm keeping track, number 3. It's a good one. That is very much a strong possibility. And the advantage of this one is that it's actually from the Torah itself, Sefer Dvarim. The Thursday morning folks are going to say, oh, Sefer Dvarim, you know, it's not the same level as the rest of it. Okay, fine, we'll put that on the side for me. But the next, right, so the next drasha suggestion is Rav Chista. Rav Chista Amar Mehacha. Su'ua, this actually came up in the Thursday morning class also. Su'ua Har Vaviva Ali Zayas Vali Eitz Shemen Vali Hadas Vali Tamar Vali Eitz Avos. So, Rashi, interestingly, says this is Pasukuba Sefer Ezra. He calls it Sefer Ezra. If you look in your Torah HaShalim, it says this is from Nehemiah. Now, so this basically points to, I know we didn't spend a lot of time talking about the formation of Nach in the Thursday morning book club, for those who appreciate that, but apparently Sefer Ezra, not all of it's written by Ezra. even from a more traditional point of view. It's clearly not written by Ezra, and there's been an interesting development of the Sefer, in which Sefer Ezra apparently included Nehemiah, and at some point later in history, I'm not sure exactly when, Nehemiah became its own independent work. So Rashi over here is calling Sefer Ezra, even though we know it as Nehemiah. So just an interesting little tidbit over there. Okay, so the point here is, we have it now. It's not from the Torah itself, but we have the advantage, and it seems pretty explicit, that we're being told in Sefer Nehemiah that what do you need in order to have schach for your sukkah? He gives us, he says, you get branches from the olive tree, from the shemen, from the hadas, the myrtle, from the palm trees, from the etzavos. So we see that what do you use for schach? Use branches from trees for schach. That's what you're supposed to use. So this is a very nice, maybe not independent, we could say almost like it's a supporting role over here. Now, the Gemara just quickly wants to clarify, Hainu Hadas, Hainu Eitzavos. We're going to see later on in the Gemara that Hadas is called Eitzavos, a braided branch. So why is he repeating himself? That's superfluous to say Hadas twice. So Amar Al-Chista, well, there's two kinds of Hadasim we're going to talk about. There's a Hadas Shota. Now, a Shota means what?
Drunk.
What?
A drunk?
Not drunk, but you're close. someone who's mentally impaired in some way or another.
Oh, a stupid person. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what the politically correct way to say it is. But yeah, so basically someone who lacks certain mental capacity. It's called a Hadas Shota. And it's basically a Hadas who's supposed to have supposed to be pairs of three. And so if it's missing some of those leaves, so then it's no longer kosher. It's no longer fit to be used for your arba minim. But you know what it is fit to be used for? L'sukkah. You could still use it for the schach. The eitz avos, this refers to a proper hadas, l'lulav. And that's what you use for your lulav that we'll talk about as we progress further in the Masechta. Right? Because we spend all this time in the first chapter talking about what makes a sukkah kosher. Eventually we'll get to be talking about the arba minim as well. So that brings us to the Mishnah. Let me pause for a moment. Do we have any questions at this juncture, my friends? Okay. I feel like we haven't read through a Tosfos in a while. And I thought there was a really cool Tosfos right here on our Amud. So, okay, a little bit of background about this Tosfos. So we're going to be looking at the Psilis Gorim V'yekev HaKas Medaber, the second one on the Amud. It's a moderate length, but it should go down pretty smoothly, I think. It's not going to be anything too complicated, I think. So if you remember in our Chazara, our review at the beginning of this year, we mentioned that there's an opinion of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish said, where do we get the idea of schach not being mekabel tumah and growing from the ground? Because we see in the creation story, there's this mist that comes up from the ground. But then Rav Yochanan, right? Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, one of the classic pairs of Bali Plukta of, two people who always are in argument with each other. And of course, there's a whole backstory to it. So Rav Yochanan, which was the first opinion that we read at the beginning of the shir tonight on the Tapia Beis Manav, Rav Yochanan did not accept Reish Lakish's drasha, presumably because Rav Yochanan was a proponent of the idea that the reason we observe Sukkot is not to commemorate the clouds of glory, the Anani HaKavod, but it's to commemorate Sukkos Mamish, that we sat in actual sukkahs when we were in the wilderness. So how does this play out? If you look in Tosfos, Rav Yochanan, de lo yoh Anani HaKavod, so Rav Yochanan does not learn from the Anani HaKavod, rather he says a sukkah, he needs to come up with another lima, another source for how we know schach, because he doesn't learn it from the mist. So Mefarash Yerushalmi, the Talmud Yerushalmi elaborates on this. And it says, Din Kedate u Din Kedate, both Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan are consistent, not just halachically, but also, I don't know if theologically is the right term, but in how they, hashkafically as well. So Rav Yochanan Amar, Ananim Lamala Hayu. Rav Yochanan believes that all clouds in this world come from heaven. Klomar min hashamayim hin bayin. And therefore, since he believes that the origin of all clouds, which maybe is, the clouds form up there, but the rain goes up there and helps form the clouds, so there is what to discuss. But since Rabbi Yochanan fundamentally believes that all clouds originate in heaven, the Einzek Yidul Min Ha'aretz, Diktani Mas Nisan. So then, how could clouds be the source for a sukkah since they don't come from the earth? And the Mishnah said, Schach has to come from the earth. Whereas, Reish Lagish Amar, Lamatahai, Reish Lagish believes that clouds can originate from the earth itself. Hence, he uses the verse that the mist came out from the earth. Rav Yochanan Madami, so what's the mashal? They have parables to back up their assertions. Rav Yochanan Madami, Lu Ka'adam HaMashalech, Chavir Chavis Unkankanim. Rav Yochanan says that when God provides rain for us, he's like a friend who's giving us wine, but he doesn't just give us the wine, he gives us the vessels with the wine as well. He doesn't say, come fill up your wine from my storehouse. He sends them in a beautiful package and beautiful jugs and sends them to you. So too, when God gives us the rain, God forms the vessels of the rain up in heaven by him. Reish Lakish medamile, k'man damar lechavre, shalach kuftecha v'savlach achiten. Whereas Reish Lakish, his parable is, or analogy is that of, metaphor, that's right, of someone saying to his friend, can you give me some wheat? And then God says, send me your vessel and I'll fill it up with chitin, with wheat. So send me your vessel, send me your clouds, let the clouds emerge from the earth. I'll fill it up with some water and then the clouds will provide water for you. So the rest of the Tosas basically expands on this point. It says this is also in the Medrash Rabbah, but it's just interesting that Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan are not just having a halachic dispute, they have a dispute about how they understand the nature of the natural order itself. So Rav Yochanan thinks that clouds originate only in heaven, so then how could they be a source for schach, which comes from the earth? Reish Lakish, who thinks that some of the clouds originate from the earth itself, says, oh, we can learn from the mist that emerges from the earth, that's the paradigm, that's the source in the Torah for how we know schach has to come from the earth as well. So I thought that was just like a cool elaboration from Tosos. And we can say we did a Tosos because I think it's been too long since we've looked at one inside. Okay. Any questions?
I thought that in the desert we dwelt in tents.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, that's fair. We had booths at some point. Did we use them the entire time? So it says in Rashi on the previous Amud, Sukkos Mamish, Mipnei Hachama, when it was sunny outside, B'Shas Chaniyasan, when they were encamped, Hayosim Sukkos. So these Sukkos were more like when the Jewish people had set up shop somewhere and it was particularly sunny outside, that's when they build the sukkah. So they weren't necessarily using the sukkahs throughout the entire time in the wilderness, but when they were encamped somewhere and it was particularly sunny, they built these sukkahs. So I don't think they were using them 24/7. Though. So that's a good point. Right, because you're thinking, Matovu Olecha Yaakov Mishkan Sachi Yisrael, right? How Bilam blesses us about our tents. And there's other
sukkahs. How really are your tents?
Right, tents get mentioned a few times. Very good. Okay. Rabosai, going forward to our Mishnah. So, a new Mishnah, a new day. Chavile kash, v'chavile etim, chavile zuradin. If you have bundles tied together of straw, of wood, and zuradin, zuradin, Rashi tells us, is min kunim hin sha'osin zuradin. So, v'ogdin osan, v'ogdin lachin, behema ochlat san. It's some kind of, okay, I have to look up the term because I couldn't find a clear translation. Art scroll calls it cane, apparently. Okay? Rashi says, what's the significance of it? It's something that when it's moist, you feed it to animals. L'chiyavshi, and when it dries, ondim lehesek. Then you can use it for the fire. So, in other words, point being is three different examples of the same classification, things that you can use for schach on their own. But when you bundle them together for some reason, we'll talk about why it's an issue, you're not allowed to use them for schach. Amasach and Behen. V'chula shetirin sheros, but if you untie them, they become kosher. There's a discussion, I believe, in the Rishonim, based on the previous sugya we had, unclear if untying it is enough to render kosher, or if you need to be minanea, if you need to, right? Remember we talked about that, the machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Maybe you have to, you know, shake it around, push it up a little bit, so that way you're putting it back and there's no issue tasalom and asoim. Okay, just a little tidbit. I'll just finish three more words and then I'll take your question, Toby. And the Mishnah finishes, ukulim shiras lefanos. Now, while we have all these strict parameters about what could be schach, all these things are still kosher 100% to serve as the walls of the sukkah. Toby.
So when you talk about tying in bundles, is the issue that they're like a round bundle? Because like we have these bamboo mats that are tied together. Yeah. You know, each strand is tied together. Is that an issue?
Yeah, so I think it's more circular. If you look at Tosfos, actually, Tosfos says the last one, the first Birshami, it's like 25 chaff. What's the right word for it? 25
stalks.
Stalks, thank you. 25 stalks or sticks or whatever that are bundled together, I think in a circular fashion. We're going to see the way you would store it if you were going to put it in storage the way you would put it. So I think it's bundled up in a circular fashion. I don't have my Masifta Gemara with me, but that. Oh, does my Sukkah Gemara have pictures in the back here? No. But I looked in the Masifta Gemara, which has nice pictures in the back, and that's how they showed it there as well.
So the issue is not the tying, per se.
Right. So the issue of bamboo mats, which you rightly point out, is a halakhic controversy that we don't like to think about, is that we'll talk about later on, Machzeles, that there's an issue of using a mat, because we said, what is one of the conditions to be kosher schach? It cannot be susceptible to tumah. The issue is, one of the things in general that's susceptible to tumah is a kli. So what's a kli? A kli is not literally just a vessel that can accept it. A kli is like any like kind of item that's functional, that serves a function. So a mat is a functional item. And so there's a question whether these bamboo mats are problematic and can be makabel tumah. So that's the question that's brought up over there. Okay, I actually was looking in the Masifta Gemara, not on this Amud, but the next one, they have a section where they have halacha l'maisa questions, and that's actually the topic. So God willing, the first year when we come back, Toby, we may just elaborate on that very question. So how about that? Okay, very good. So let's go into the Gemara. The Gemara, Amar Rav Yaakov, Shmais Minei Rav Yochanan Tarti. I learned two teachings from Rabbi Yochanan. One teaching was this Mishnah that we just read. And the second one is a Mishnah that's later on 15a, on Tesvav HaMena Aleph, which is if someone has a pile of hay, and what you do is, well, as we said, you know, the hay, the straw, is kosher for schach. So what? But the issue is, where are you going to sit? So you go and you chisel out and hollow out the inside. So that way you have 7x7 tefachim and you sit in there and voila, what do you know? You already have a wall. You already have schach. It's already set up. You know, it's like that, Lahavdil. I think there's like this story they say by, over about Michelangelo or one of the Ninja Turtles, one of the artists. So basically, oh, that was a generational reference. Did anyone get that one? Okay, thank you. Okay,
there's a new Ninja Turtle movie coming out.
Oh, there is. Oh, okay. So it's okay. There you go. I wasn't a big Ninja Turtle person, but I knew that much. That's how people my generation knew the famous artists of yore. So I think it was by Michelangelo. He made the statue, I think, of Mary weeping over Jesus after he's crucified, if I'm not mistaken. So if I got the right one. So they asked him, you know, how is it that you're able to make all these beautiful creations? So he said, all I did was, you know, the statue was already there and I just moved some of the schmutz from around it in order to uncover it. That was his thing. So but have the Afia tell us this is what's happening over here. There's a beautiful sukkah. And all I have to do is just chisel out some of the schmutz that's over there in order so that the sukkah in its full glory will be revealed. So that's what's happening over here. Okay, there's some sermon material. So the issue is, why is it that the case of our Mishnah with the bundles for schach And why is it that the case of chiseling out a sukkah from that heap of hay is problematic? I know both are an issue, but why are they issues? So, chada mishum gezeiras otzer, v'chada mishum tasav lo min ha'asoy. I know that the rationale for one of them is because of a rabbinical decree called gezeiras otzer. The concern is that if we allow you to use this kind of sukkah, then you're going to say, I may as well just go into my storehouse, which already happens to be set up looking like a sukkah. Meanwhile, you never actually put the skach down there for the purpose of creating a sukkah. And the other issue is our good friend that we've been learning for the past week or two, taseh v'lo min ha'asoy, that when you put the skach down initially, it needs to be kosher. You can't just make a sukkah the schach is already there. The schach needs to be put down. And when it's put down in a kosher manner. So, v'lo yadana ha'iminah mishum otzer v'ha'iminah mishum tasav lo min ha'asoy. So I know that he said both these cases are puzzle. And I know he gave two distinct rationales, but I'm not sure which rationale matches with which case. You hear his problem? He knows the outcome. He just doesn't know the rationale behind each one. Now you're going to say, who cares if we know the rationale behind each one? Well, it does make a difference. Because as we'll see, Gezeiras Otzer is a rabbinical ban, but Tassel Min Ha'asoy is an issue on a biblical, on the Doraisa left. So arguably, this was a sugi we saw all the way at the beginning of the Masechta, if I don't fulfill something on the rabbinic level, at least I still fulfill it on the biblical left. But if something is Pasel Min Doraisa, then if I don't do it that way, then I haven't been Yotzei the Mitzvah Sukkah at all. So that's what's at stake over here. So I'm Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah says, "Nixiyana, let's take a look over here. I think I can figure this out for you." So Amar Rav Yichia Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, "Mipnei ma amru chavile kash, v'chavile etzim, v'chavile zrodin, imasach v'hen." Why does our Mishnah say that you're not allowed to use all these bundles as schach? The issue is, "Pamim sha'adim b'min asada be'arev." A person, there'll be times when a person comes back from a long day's work in the field in the evening, v'chavilaso al kisefo, and he has this, he has it on his shoulder, and he puts it on top of his hut over there so it dries out. And then he comes back one day, he's like, this, what do you know? I have schach over here. So the issue is, v'torah amra tasav lo min ha'asoy. The issue is, when you put down the schach, Rashi elaborates. When you put down the schach, what's happening here? Shalolashim schach. I feel it's sale. The yavish. What's the issue here? So if you remember, we had a machlokas beis Shammai and beis Hillel. When I put the schach down on my sukkah, do I need to do it l'shem mitzvah for the sake of the mitzvah sukkah? So beis Shammai said yes, but beis Hillel said no. But do you know what beis Hillel said? You need to do at minimum. When you put the schach down, it may not need to be for the purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah sukkah, but it needs to be with the intent of providing shade. So here's our issue. You're only putting down those bundles, not even to provide shade, but just so that they can dry out up there. And then you come back later like, what do you know? It's almost sukkahs. I don't need to build a sukkah. The issue is the schach was never put down, even with the minimum intention of just creating shade. So it's not going to be a kosher sukkah. So therefore, the Rabbanan were gozer, our rabbi said, because this is something that could conceivably easily happen, therefore you should never use bundles for schach, even with the right intention, because you might come to use bundles that were not put down with the intention of providing shade, like you would for your storehouse. That's how we get gezeiras otzer. Okay. Well, my friends, we just did process of elimination. Midaha mishum gezeiras otzer. Now, since we know that our Mishnah is because of the rabbinical decree, ha mishum tasav lo min ha'asoy. So then we can now figure out by process of elimination that when it comes to the case of chiseling out the heap of hay to make a sukkah, what's the issue? Tasav lo min ha'asoy. And it makes a lot of, not that, the Gemara is the Imai Haskama, but it makes a lot of sense. What's the issue here? The issue is you didn't put the schach on this sukkah. You just chiseled out the middle, but the schach was always there. So that's an issue, Tasav min ha'asoy, because the schach who's also, it's already there. No, you have to be taseh. You have to chisel out, have kosher walls, and only then put the schach on top. So that's an issue on a d'oraisa level. It doesn't fill the basic definition of a kosher sukkah. Okay? And Rav Yaakov, Hachtor Bichia Bar Abba Lo Shmiel. And Rav Yaakov, the reason he was confused was he never heard this teaching. Okay, so he never heard this elaboration. Very good. However, Amar Rav Ashi, Ato Kadidei Kach Kadidei Eitzim, Mishum Gziras Otzer Ika, Mishum Tazolim Asai Leika. Is it so simple? I don't know. Maybe the issue with bundles is a concern. Maybe our mission is an issue on a Doraisa level, Tassel and Asuim. And maybe Tachotit Begadish between Tassel Vilom and Asuim Ika, Mishum Gziras Otzer Leika. What, are you going to tell me that maybe it's not, or maybe I can just as easily say that the issue of chiseling out the heap of hay is a rabbinical issue, meaning it could be a case where I actually did take the hay that was on top after I chiseled it out and I put it back on. I was minanea. I moved it around. And I did it for the sake of the sukkah. So maybe only there is discussing rabbinical issue. How could I be so sure? So this is why you have to read the words carefully. Rav Yochanan Amar Lecha, what would Rav Yochanan respond? Hacha, if you look in the words of our Mishnah, Diktani, what does our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah says, Ein misachachin behem. You shouldn't use them for schach. What does that language imply? Ein misachachin, it doesn't say puzzle. It doesn't say it's a non-kosher sukkah. It says you shouldn't use it. What does it mean you shouldn't use it? Lichatchilahu. It means ideally you shouldn't be doing it. Initially you shouldn't be doing it. Ein misachachin mishum gezeres otzer. Because rabbinically you're not supposed to do it. But it's not inherently an invalid sukkah. Hadaraisa shaper dani, on a biblical level, it is kosher. Whereas in the case of being chote the gadish, chiseling out the middle over there, hasantiktani ena sukkah, there it says ena sukkah. It doesn't even have the status. It's not even classified in a kosher sukkah. Afil dievim midaraisa nami ena sukkah. That means even on a biblical level, it will not be a kosher sukkah. Because it's tasav lo mena asoy. So it's beautiful, as you could see from the actual use of the language. And this is, I think we saw something similar on Bezum and Aleph. I think on Bezum and Aleph, we're talking about a mavoy also, we used a different kind of language. What did we say? If you look all the way back on 2a. So if you remember in our Mishnah, the first Mishnah we saw, what it was, it said psula. It said that a sukkah that's over 20 amos is pasul. That, and then we ask, why when it comes to a mavoy that's over 20 amos, we say that, we don't say it's pasul, we say just adjust it. And one of the answers given was, is that sukkah doraisa tani psula, mavoy durabana tani takanta. That a sukkah that is above 20 amos is pasul on a doraisa level. Therefore, it uses the lashon psula. But a mavoy, which is a rabbinical nak, you don't say pasul, you just say takanta, fix it. So it's a similar idea over here. If you look closely at the language, you can infer sometimes what is d'oraisa and what is d'rabba. So that's an important point, and it connects all the way back to the first shiur we had in the Mishnah. Okay, any questions? Paul?
Yeah, this may be a silly question, but if the Gemara and the Halacha are so concerned about the schach being specifically intended for the purpose, why isn't it so concerned about the walls?
Ah, excellent, excellent, excellent question. I'm so glad you asked it because it actually goes literally into the next thing I wanted to talk about. You see, Paul and I made an arrangement beforehand. I paid him a few dollars and he asked the question. So I'm going to make sure I answer your question, right? Paul, hold me accountable, okay? Because I want to ask the following question, which I think will bring out your point. So I realized I missed something I wanted to share before the Mishnah. Remember, we were spending all that time talking about whether a sukkah we have is modeled after the Anane HaKavod, after the clouds, or after Sukkos Mamish. So the Aruch Haner has a question that a lot of the later Achronim deal with. It's a very short line he writes. Aruch Haner says, Tav Kushler Reish Lakish, Yav Mad Ve'inon Skafid Le'Karka. So that we have a bit of a question on Reish Lakish, who holds, Reish Lakish says that we learn from the mist, from the clouds. Ma'ishna the cooling shares of the funnels. If it's true that we learn sukkah from the Anani HaKavod, from the clouds, didn't the Anani HaKavod fully envelop us? The Anani HaKavod wasn't just on top, right? Remember all those midrashim about how they'd shoot the arrows in and the Anani HaKavod would protect us and shoot back out and all these fantastic things. So I would think the same rule that applies for the schach of the sukkah should also apply to the defanos, the walls of the sukkah, right? And Paul, I think that's essentially your question, correct? So the Midrash Shlomo, or Shlomo Zalman Orbach in his Chidushim, answers your question. He says, Demash Nikra Sukkah, and this brings us back again, all the way back to the first Amud, to Beit Zalman Aleph, to 2a in the Masechta. Demash Nikra Sukkah, Tzorech Liyos Dumya Dahasa. What's it mean when we are trying to figure out what a sukkah is? Came into sukkah nikres al shem aschav. What is a sukkah? Rashi at the beginning of the Masechta tells us. And Rashi over here also says, nikres al shem haschach, right? Sukkah, schach. The ikar of the sukkah is the schach. The defanos, there are parameters as we spend time talking about what makes the walls kosher. But the walls can be seen as a hechi timsa. The walls are almost like a means, but the schach is the primary part of the sukkah. So therefore, yafinan mehasam dini haschach. Therefore, even though it's true that Anani HaKavod fully enveloped us, we're inferring the laws of schach, because that is the ikar part of the sukkah. Avolosha anachnu ba'atzmenu nidva mitamza kol dini sukkah lahasam. Doesn't mean that every single aspect of the sukkah needs to be similar to Anani HaKavod. It's just the schach. I'll just start in just a moment. And then he concludes by saying, ulachinam nidchuku bezach ronim. And he says, Lachinam, you know, for no reason at all of my, you know, colleagues or those who preceded me have given full shiurim trying to explain the Aruch HaNer and answer his question. He said the question is very obvious. It's because, as we've been talking about time and time again, especially beginning of Masechta, that the schach is the ikar part of the sukkah, and that's why we only infer to the schach itself. Okay, someone had a question. Phyllis?
Yes, I'm a little confused. So is it the walls or the schach that's the ikar?
The schach is the ikar.
So why do we make a bracha on the schach? Why do we make a bracha on the sukkah?
Leishev sukkah. Yeah.
Yeah, but why don't we make a bracha on the schach?
Well, again, you know, if you understand that schach and sukkah share the same root, when you're saying sukkah, you're really, you know, in that word is schach.
I see. Okay.
But you do need the whole gestalt.
I forgot
you can't have
about
a schach without the defunos.
I forgot.
And just because the schach is the primary part doesn't mean that we could disregard the rest of it. We still need the rest of it. Okay, very
Thank
good.
You.
So that was what I wanted to share with you this evening. God willing, we'll pick this up when I'm back. I believe I sent the dates out in an email. I have to send those dates to Matt as well. I'll send that to him so that way none of you get confused on the daily virtual. And I'll see if I can manage to swing the Sefer HaChinuch. Assume that there's no shiur this Sunday morning, but if I can swing it, I will try to make it work. Maybe I could do it before davening. I have to figure it out. Maybe after the bris. Depends if people are around. So people, like, let me know what works. Okay. I know this is like a weekly Talmud shiur. I just don't think it's going to be viable for me to give it from Eretz Yisrael. So I hope you'll be mochel me. I hope to see those of you who are around over Shabbos, and looking forward to picking up again soon. I appreciate all your commitment and consistency. I hope we can pick it back up with the same vigor and consistency once we get back to it. Okay?
Have a wonderful trip.
Vacation, well earned.
Thank you. I'll miss all you guys. All right, we'll learn together soon. Take care.